Who's the plus five?
Curve. It's a gift.
Thank you.
Okay, but Ty, we were talking yesterday about the Zmanim, Hadlakas Nevis Hanukkah, because we spoke of, so the Braisa says, Mitzvasa Mishatishka Chama. So first of all, what does the Gemara mean when it says Shkia Sachama? This is a big question. It's a major question. What does it mean? We saw from the Rambam, we looked up a few Rambams, and we saw that the Rambam's Lashon, when he says, he says here, the Lashon in Hilchos Chanukah, he says, Im Shkia Sachama. You should light with the Shkia Sachama. And we also compared it to the Rambam's Lashon in Hilchos Shabbos, where he says, Im Shkia Sachama creates the suffix of Bein HaShemashos. And only later on, by Tzeisek HaChavim, that he says it's Laila. So when the Rambam uses the terminology with the Shkia, he means the exact sunset, doesn't mean stars have come out yet. It's clear that the Rambam uses this expression in Hilchos Shabbos that way. So therefore, when he uses this expression in Hilchos Chanukah, he also means that you light at Shkia Sachama. This is against the Psak of the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that you light the Sof Shkia, at the end of the Shkia, which means when the stars come out. So it's a big machlokes, Rambam and Mechaber. When the Gemara says here, Meshetishka Hachama, does this mean sunset, or does this mean stars come out? There's a famous Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Zvachim, Daf Nun Vav, who says that whenever the Gemara uses the expression Mishetishka Hachama, that means when the sunset is over. Because the Rabbeinu Tam says, if the Gemara meant the beginning of the sunset, it would have said Im Shkia Sachama, with the Shkia, or Bishkia Sachama, at Shkia Sachama. It says Mishetishka, but Rabbeinu Tam interprets means that the Shkia is over, which means the stars have come out. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you light candles at Tzeis HaKochavim. According to the Shulchan Aruch Mechaber, you light at Tzeis HaKochavim. According to the Rambam, you light when the sun goes down, means the beginning of Bein HaShemashos with Shkia. And the Vilna Gaon also passes like the Rambam that you light candles at Shkia. So we have a huge machloket. Vilna Gaon, Rambam saying Shkia Zachama, Rabbeinu Tam and Mechaber saying Tzeis HaKochavim, which leaves us with a big problem what to do. So Mishnah Frura has his own compromise, which he says you should do it basically at the Shkia Sachama of the Rabbeinu Tam. In other words, wait. You know that there's two Shkia Sachama. There's a Shkia Sachama of the Vilna Gaon, which we call sunset. The sun goes below the horizon. And Rabbeinu Tam has his own Shkia Sachama. Rabbeinu Tam says when the sun goes below the horizon, it's still day. It's not called Shkia Sachama. Shkia Sachama, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is 54 minutes after the sun goes below the horizon. It's a certain certain degree below the horizon. When the sun is a certain level below the horizon, that he calls sunset. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have another 54 minutes before there's a Shkia. So Mishnah Brura says he thinks it's better to light at that Rabbeinu Tam Shkia, so but because he says many of the Rishonim or Poskim in general agree with the Rabbeinu Tam Shkia. The fact is that in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mechaber and the Ramah, they paskin the Rabbeinu Tam Shkia. They don't paskin the Vilna Gaon Shkia, which is the sunset. They say that the Shkia Sachama, which starts Bein HaShemashos, is the Rabbeinu Tam Shkia, both Mechaber and Ramah. So 54 minutes after sun goes below the horizon is when the real Shkia Sachama takes place of Rabbeinu Tam. and the Mechaber and Mema. So Mishnah Berurah says, light candles, he thinks that that Shkia, the Shkia of Rabbeinu Tam, because this way, he says, you're sort of straddling all the possible opinions. You're getting something of a piece of most of the opinions. And so even though no one says that, I mean possibly, it could be possible the Shkia of the Rambam. We're not so sure the Rambam agrees with Rabbeinu Tam Shkia or Rabbeinu Tam or Rabbeinu Gon Shkia. So it could be the Rambam's Shita that you light up Rabbeinu Tam Shkia, yeah.
Okay, well, what's the problem with just lighting the earliest time and putting up all the Shabbos all the way through?
Oh, okay. That's an idea which a lot of people said you should do. Light at the first Shkia of Rabbeinu Gon,
yeah, the earliest possible Shkia.
And give it enough floor to go all the way through. That is definitely a possible way of paskening. The reason that some people, Mishnah Berurah, who don't like that, is because it could be that if you're lighting before the time that you're supposed to, it's pasul.
It's pasul all the way?
Yeah, because if you, that gets us into a second question. Let's say someone lights before Shkia Sachamra. He just lights mamish, it's still daytime, the sun is mamish shining. Would he be Yotzei the Mitzvah? If he gives it enough oil to keep on going past Shkia, past Seis, Ashitech Legim and Ashuk, but he lit it, the sun was still shining. Is he Yotzei? So this is a Rajba. The Rajba says yes, you are Yotzei even if you light before Shkia Sachama, as long as you let it keep on burning, because he says it's the same as every Friday. Every Friday, Hanukkah, we are lighting when the sun is still shining. So if it's good for Friday evening, Hanukkah, it should be good for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's the Rajba. And the Shulchan Aruch brings down the Rajba and says he passes like the Rajba. Shulchan Aruch says that if you do light before, it's okay. But Shulchan Aruch doesn't say everybody agrees. He says, Yesha Omrim, and if you have a Shas HaTchak, if you're in a pinch, you can do that. So Shulchan Aruch says that the Rajba is a reliable shita in a pinch, but not everybody agrees with that Rajba. So the Rambam himself has never said that you could light in general before Shkia Sachama, even though it's obviously he's going to light Friday before Shkia, but he never said that you could do the whole week before Shkia. So whether that's the best solution to this big machlokes to light at the first Shkia is itself a machlokes. The Rav Rabbi Soloveitchik always lit at the first Shkia. If the sun went down, that's when he lit. It was the Vilna Gaon's psak, because the Vilna Gaon thinks that that's Shkia, and he thinks you should light at Shkia. Yeah?
Do we know the Rambam Shkia as the Vilna Gaon, or did he hold Shkia as a time?
We don't know exactly, no. There's a big argument what the Rambam feels about that. In fact, I want to, maybe next term, maybe the first sugya we'll do next term will be the sugya about Shkia Sachama. And,
Where is that?
It's in the Sechta Shabbos, it's in the second period. I believe, I want to do it Be'iyun because It's a once in a lifetime chance to study the topic of Shkia Sachama, so I think we should do it.
How does Rabbeinu Tam with Red Havdalah affect? I mean, say that the Chavim should be the end of Shkia Sachama regardless of when.
Yeah, he has an 18 minute time period between what he calls the Shkia and his Tzeisa Kachavim. So there, the Vilna Gaon goes crazy. He says, the Gemara says that Tzeisa Kochavim is three average stars. He says, if you wait for Rabbeinu Tam's Tzeisa Kochavim, which is 72 minutes, 54 plus 18 after sunset, he says the sky is full of millions of stars. It's just too many stars. He says, if you do it my way, sun goes down, you wait 18 minutes, you see a few stars, and that's good enough for the three. He thinks the Rabbeinu Tam is trying to get too many stars in the sky. Yeah.
A few things. Number one, the Rabbeinu Tam is in the Tosfos. Where is that Tosfos?
Rabbeinu Tam is Zvachim, Daphne and Vav.
It's in a total source of garbage.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, okay, so also if the mission verb when it says shkiasakama abbreviated that to mend this problem that shkiasakama abbreviated tom, does that mean that the Rambam says other than that that you mamish have to you should like write a shkiasakama?
Yeah.
Because still have the Rambam, so you, if you're saying you're going to go by abbreviated tom, so shkiasakama is saying what you would assume that you'd have to write
that. Well, if the Rambam agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, then it's great.
We don't know. But
we don't know.
We do know that he says that
if he disagrees.
But whatever you know Shkia is, we know that, that he has said to write on Shkia, right?
Right.
So wouldn't, it would probably
right. He's not so worried about the Rambam's, to be exact.
No, I'm saying if you're going to write
him,
if you're going to follow the Mishnah Berurah,
you're going to lose out possibly the Rambam's decision. Right. The Rambam says,
well,
you should light Hanukkah candles. He puts in the words, lo makdimim v'lo ma'achrim. Im shkiyah sachama v'lo makdimim v'salam is very
right, so if you do the Rambam does it, shkiyah sachama, so then you should do it right at that precise moment.
Right, right. Rambam Shkabuah says, you don't have to hit it exactly. Around then, he says.
Okay.
He's not, being very precise.
Also, all right. So also the Rashba, which is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch to
light earlier while the sun is still shining.
Right. So I don't really see the point of that because it seems to me what the Raya was from before Shabbos,
yes.
Like when the sun is shining. But this would be that if you lit at the Grush Shkia, you don't have to light when the sun is shining during the week. You light at the Grush Shkia, and then. Have it go, and then have it be able to go a half an hour. If you do it, the candles can go half an hour, right? So have it go half an hour past the opinions of the of Rabbeinu Tam and Mechaber,
right?
So then couldn't you say then from the Rashba's logic that it's just you can have it lit before Shabbos? So then if you light at Shkia Sakama, then when it hits the Kukavim, if it can go a half an hour past hits the Kukavim, that you've mended every opinion.
Yeah.
So how much time difference is there between Shkia Sakama and the Kukavim?
From the first Shkia till the Rabbeinu Tam's Tzeis?
Till
the Rabbeinu Tam's Tzeis of Kukavim?
Yeah.
The last possible Tzeis is 72 minutes.
So you have to go half hour past that.
Right.
So you have to have your candle the ability to burn for 102 minutes.
Right.
So if every night you burn your Shabbos candles,
right,
then your problem...
That's what the Rav used to do. The Rav used to take Shabbos candles and light them exactly at the sunset. So this way, you
get
every opinion. That's a solution which a lot of Gedolim felt. It's yours, and it's Shlomo's, and it's a lot of people thought that's the best solution.
I feel the same way.
Unless you don't hold by the Rashba, in which case you're in trouble. You don't hold by the Rashba, then you wake up early, and your Shabbos candles are gone, you're near your Chanukah, plus.
Right. Well, some people want to say that if you do Shkia, even those who disagree with the Rashba would agree at Shkia.
Not the Vilna-Gaon Shkia.
The Vilna-Gaon Shkia, yeah.
If they hold later Shkia, not
some of this is like a very late Achronim want to say that Machlokes with the Rashba, that those disagree with him, is to light when the sun is shining. Because they say that the candles don't have any meaning when the sun is shining. But if you light it when the sun goes down, the candle has a meaning because it's twilight, even though it's not the Zman of Hanukkah, because Hanukkah begins at Tzeis HaKochavim. But since you're creating a candle for Hanukkah, it's good enough, even the others would agree. Not necessarily only the Rashba. That's what some of the later Achronim want to come up with, that's a better solution. Okay, so we took up care of all of this. Now we said, the one thing which I think we spoke a little bit about was those who disagree with the Rashba and say that you must light only with the Zman, either Shkia, Tzeis HaKochavim. What did they do with the Rashba's proof from Friday? Friday, everyone is lighting when the sun is shining. So why is that better than any other day of Hanukkah? According to that opinion that you cannot light earlier than the Zman. So he said, because Friday is a special din, it's unique. Because since it's a special din of Hachana for Shabbos, you light Shabbos candles also when the sun is shining. It's a special din that I can create something for Shabbos on Friday through the halacha of Hachana for Shabbos. Especially if you're doing something with the Rabbanon, like Shabbos candles, or Chanukah candles, is a Rabbanon mitzvah. So the Rabbanon allowed us to create something for Shabbos. Now this, but that would not allow us during the week to light when the sun is shining. Only Friday afternoon is a special halacha of Hachana for Shabbos. That would be the opinion of those who disagree with the Rashba. You did not chana for Shabbos. And okay. Okay, now, second part of the Gemara is that Shetich LeRegel Min HaShuk. So the Rif says it's a half an hour. The Rambam says it's a half an hour or more. So clearly, according to the Rambam, if more people are continuously walking in the street, you have a longer Zman, and you also probably have to have a bigger Shia. This is a Chumra of the Briskers. The Rebbe Soloveitchik Briska Chumra is to use the extra time, if there's more people in the street than the half an hour. So the Rambam says, Yeter, you can go more than Chatzi Shah. It's not just a kula that I can still light. If I didn't light earlier, I can still light. It's also a chumrah that I have to put in the shear of Shemen to keep it going all along, as long as people are out there. So if, let's say, traffic stops on your street about 12 o'clock, and you're lighting for people in the street, you should put in enough oil, if you're a brisker, to go till people start walking in the street.
That's how Rav Chaim interprets the
Rambam. Yeah, right. Rav Chaim Brisker's interpretation of the Rambam. It's a chumrah, big chumrah. And my own chumrah, I guess we call it Rabbi Reichman chumrah, is to take Rav Chaim's chumrah of the street and apply it to lighting for people in the house. Because the Re says that nowadays we don't light for people in the street. We light for people in the house. So my chumrah is not just, the Re uses this as a leniency, a cooler. He says, if you like, since you light people in the house, you can light later, even though traffic stopped in the street, you can still light for people in your house. That's what the Re's cooler. So I said, no, but you also have now, according to Reb Chaim's logic in the Rambam, you now get a chumrah that you should put enough oil into the candles to last as long as people in the house are up. As long as my family is up, I should have enough oil there to keep it burning. It's a chumrah. The shia gets bigger. Not just is it a cooler, I have more zman, there's also a chumrah that you put in more shemen to have a bigger shear.
To burn for as long as people are awake in the house?
Uh-huh. That's my chumrah.
Based on
Reb Chaim's chumrah in the Rambam. Reb Chaim said that according to the Rambam, you're going to need more oil than the half an hour people are walking longer in the street. So I said this should probably be the same kind of a chumrah according to the Re. If you're lighting for people in the house, to put enough oil there to keep it going so people go to sleep.
No, we had a cooler for the people.
We had a cooler that gives you more zman. If you didn't light at 5 o'clock, you can light at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. As long as people are up, he says it's still the zman. Because you're lighting for the people in the house, so the zman is extended. But I say that it's also a chumrah, that when you do light, you should put enough oil for them to see until they go to sleep. Just like you have to put enough oil for people in the street to see until they stop walking. you should have enough work as long as people are awake. That's what I thought. There's a chumrah the other way, which is what I do.
As long as there's people traveling the street, but that could be different people. Meaning, it's not going to be the same guy sitting outside your window for that whole time period.
Right.
The people in your house are going to be the same people walking back and forth.
It's definitely a chumrah on top of the Chaim's chumrah, because you're right, it's for the same people. When are you talking about people in the street? You're talking about new people. So there's a chumrah that there should be oil for new people to see. When I come up with a chumrah that in the house to have extra oil, it's for the same people to see it again and again. So I'm basically assuming that there's a mitzvah to look at the Ner Hanukkah more than once. The more you look at it, the more Pirsa Manes, even if the same person looks at it, more and more.
It's a Hasidish
Brisker Chumrah. Because the Hasidim like to look at the candles for a long time. And the Briskers like to put in more oil. So putting it together, this is the Chumrah. The Brisker Hasidish Chumrah.
Whenever you write in the house for me, you go to see what she goes to burn. That's your chumrah.
That's my chumrah. I even had what people called the Nes Chanukah Tavshin Samachen, because I put in the oil for it to burn until about 1, 2 a.m. in the morning. But one night I came back and I woke up in the morning. I went to sleep and I woke up in the morning and it was still burning. It burned the whole night till 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, it was so it was special and it's very nice. Okay. So we have Shkiyas Acham, Tich Legum and Ashok. We have the Rajba. So we have the din of Bnei Bayis. Okay, so basically I think we discussed all that I have to discuss here. Okay, now the Gemara says, Atishitich Regum and Ashok, Chof Alef and Beis, Ad Kama, Am Rabba Babachon, Ad Yochanan, Ad Bechal Yerigla to Tamadoi. And Rashi says, Tamadoi Shem Uma. It's a nation. Malak the eight and dakim misakim shuk at shahokim and ashuk the beitayim, mishachashachem mavim the beitayim or, which is yuchim the eight and yots and vakonim mahem. So he says that these are goyim. So the question is there a mitzvah piercing the nest to show the candles to goyim? Huh? The machloket.
And Rashi says yes. The way that the
Rav
interpreted Rashi was yes.
Exactly. The Rav interpreted this Rashi that you're lighting for these goyim. But not everybody agrees with that Rav's interpretation. Some people say that Rashi means that the Jews Jews go out and they, and also there's another gist in the Rashi I see here on the side, instead of Shem Uma, Shem Umnus. Shem Umnus means Jewish carpenters. Umnus meaning that they have a trade as carpenters, as woodsmen. Doesn't say that they're goyim. Agir says Shem Uma. In other words, what does the word Tamadoi mean? Is Tamadoi a name of a, like it's a Chinese, Japanese, it's the name of a group of people, a nation? Or does Tamadoi mean Umnus? It's a name for woodchoppers, people who chop wood.
What's that other gear that says it's woodchoppers?
It's, no, I see on the side it brings down that it's the Nemuke Yosef's gear of Rashi. The Nemuke Yosef quotes the Rashi, but instead of the word Uma, he has Umnus. Umnus. Chof Aleph from the base of the Rashi.
It says Rashi meant Umnus.
No, that's a different Gersa, Mama. She changes the word of Rashi. Rashi didn't have said Uma. Rashi said Umnus.
Is that saying this is Rashi saying? He's saying that
this is the words of Rashi according to the Muke Yosef.
Oh, okay, right.
So it's a different text. Rashi never said Goyim. Rashi said Umnus. Umnus meaning it's a word which in a certain trade. I mean, woodsman. So who are these woodsmen according to the Muke Yosef's Girsa? they're Jewish. He never said, Rashi never said they were Goyim, according to Nebuka Yosef's Gersa. So there's a huge machlokas here, whether there's Pirsum Hanes for Hanukkah candles to be seen by the Goyim. Obviously, the Babbage, clearly, by bringing it into the White House and the Kremlin, obviously the Rebbe Paskin, that is for the Goyim too. Yes.
It's a prominent place to put it, you know, and so maybe it's for the Jews. I know there's Jews in the White House and they film it and it's natural television.
Okay, it could be. You don't know. It's natural. You could say that the Rebbe did this whole shtick of getting the menorah into the White House because he wanted the Jews in America to be impressed by it. But it's a huge shtick to get all these goyim so involved into something which is not for them, but only for the Jews, because now every radio station says Happy Hanukkah. Suddenly, in where Jews live, like New York City, every building puts up a Christmas tree, puts up a Hanukkah menorah. So the goyim are putting it up all over the place. So if it's just to get the Jews, I told you that. I heard on the radio one of the Lubavitchers said that the Rebbe did it because he wanted Jewish children to celebrate Hanukkah and not to celebrate Christmas. That was his whole thing. So it could be. It could be that the whole thing is just to get the Jews' attention. But I think that probably the Rebbe felt that's a message to the Goyim also. And that's why he had no problems carrying it so far into the White House or Kremlin. He wanted it for the Goyim too, because of Rashi's Girsa, Shem Uma. And I think if you look at the Rebbe's writings about Hanukkah, you'll see that he emphasizes the Rashi, that there is, it's for Goyim. Hanukkah is for the Goyim. So if that's true, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav also felt that Rashi's Girsa means the Goyim.
The Rav believes
only
the
bias. But only the bias. So it's a funny sheet. In other words, you light in the bias, but for Goyim to see. Let's say where I live, Fort George Hill. So there's almost no Jews. It's 99% Spanish Goyim. So according to the Rav, I live too high up, but if I live in the lower floor, I should put it by the window for the Goyim in the street to see. They should see. That's what the Rav would say. And the Babbage did it. So, the Rav asked the following question. Why is it that Purim, which is also celebrating a miracle, we don't invite Goyim into the synagogues to hear the Kriyas HaMegillah? And the Babbage never went into the White House to read the story of Purim to the president. If he wanted to, he could have made that campaign too, to bring the story of Purim to the president and to the Kremlin. But that they don't do. Only Hanukkah. So why is the message of Hanukkah for Goyim as well, but not the message of Purim? Yes?
The Rav, I think Rabbi Yehuda, the Rav, how it Purim is a physical survival, and everybody knows that when it comes to show physically, the Jews will come out. But spiritually, Rav said it's war.
Yes.
And if we're attacked spiritually, then we'll attack that, we'll defend
Good.
Ourselves.
In other words, the message that Purim is a physical fact. Survival. That we don't have to tell a message to Goyim that we're going to defend ourselves if we're attacked, because that the Goyim take it for granted. Otherwise, they think you're a pushover. They know that if you attack, the victim is going to fight back. I mean, that's the bread and butter of Goyim. But the chiddush is that they should know that the Jews, for their religion, if the religion is attacked, they will also fight back. That was Hanukkah. That got to tell the message. And this is the Taz. The Taz explains why is it that by Hanukkah there is no mitzvah of simcha. But Purim, there is a mitzvah of simcha. Purim, you make a meal. Hanukkah, you don't have to make a meal. We became accustomed, but that's not a chiv at all. It's just a later custom, Hanukkah meals. The Taz explains because Purim is a physical fight, so therefore you celebrate physically with wine and good food. And Hanukkah was a spiritual fight for survival, therefore we don't celebrate physically, we only celebrate spiritually. Yes?
Peter is also saying that Hanukkah doesn't have a lot more physical aspects because, like, the fight became maybe more dangerous and stuff, so you have. I'm not sure why, but they said it was getting more physical to celebrate.
In recent years.
Yeah, in recent years.
Yeah, in recent years, Hanukkah has become much more of a physical celebration. Latkes,
Sukkaniyot,
and Stam, like giving gifts. All of these are physical things.
So
Hanukkah parties, it's changed.
Why
has it changed? I don't remember what I said.
I haven't been that into it because, like, the battle is getting tougher.
It's harder to remain Jewish because they're going to keep on battering us, especially after the Holocaust. So maybe we want to put some physicality into the celebration. Yeah.
But at the same time, maybe the one could look at the same thing and say that actually the physicality or the physicalization of the celebration of Hanukkah, the fact that the celebration of Hanukkah is getting more physical, is actually a negative thing in that. By making Hanukkah more physical, you're forgetting to express that concept and that fight of just the spiritual. And maybe that's part of the explanation for why we're losing the fight more so. Because if people are forgetting that it's such a spiritual fight, maybe they're looking at more of a physical fight, then they're not recognizing the spiritual fight and they're losing.
Okay. Could be. Yeah.
Yeah, but in this country, the Reform and Conservatives outnumber the Orthodox by so many. So the fact that I think Hanukkah is being so much more publicized, I agree with him 100%, but I think that maybe it's not as bad as you think because things are really bad as it is, very bad. That the majority of Jews are not from, and the Reform and Conservative Jews outnumber us by a lot, and that. I think that the fact that Hanukkah is so much more publicizing and it's so much more of a theme and it's getting so many more people active in it. So therefore, I mean, I have Reform cousins and they celebrate Hanukkah. So whatever, you know, whether it comes to my house or whatever it is, it's when they light the Hanukkah menorah, it's like we talk shulash from abolish. I mean, the fact that the message is more spread, these people are already bad at it, meaning everything that they experience sort of anything religious is basically sort of from a physical standpoint anyway. I mean, some people would drive for shul.
That's the point. That's what made Hanukkah also. I mean, you have purpose. You have the other holidays.
No, but I'm saying that the Hanukkah menorah, even though it's becoming this physical like theme, but the fact that they're doing the ma'aseh, so it's like we talk shulash from abolish one, they might, and the fact that it's getting more publicized is giving them a better chance to do the ma'aseh that they might not have ever done. But they're doing
the chassidish concept. Is that you go into the physical to create, discover the spiritual. So, and also the chassidish concept of Ikfas Adam Mashiach, as you get close to Mashiach, the world becomes much more physical.
Isn't
there Shekhinah? Much less spiritual. Right, so therefore, if you bring out the Shekhinah in the physicality, so that's like the redemption of the physicality of the time before Mashiach. So maybe that's why the Lubavitcher, who has, have to give a full credit for the resurgence of Hanukkah in America and in the world. Because when I grew up, before he made the campaign, I can tell you the truth that the average Jewish kid was embarrassed to be Jewish at this time of the year. Because he felt he had nothing, it was only Christmas, and a lot of Jewish kids really wanted to have a Christmas tree. It was a very dark period for Jewish kids. I grew up in the 50s. It was before the Lubavitch campaign for Hanukkah. And he has redeemed the Hanukkah. I would call Hanukkah his holiday. He has brought it back, and as you say today, even Jews very far away, very reformed, celebrating Hanukkah on their level, very physical way, partying, gift-giving, etc., but they do light the candle. So, it's a Hasidic thing to go into the deep, deep, strong physicality and find and create spiritual light. So that's what, that's why only a Rebbe could do this. Only a Rebbe could say, we're going to make, so to speak, a Jewish Christmas out of Hanukkah. Show the Jews that we have gifts, we have parties, all the stuff that the Goyim do, but we do it in the spiritual Jewish way. That's how only a Rebbe could do that. The others couldn't. The others could never do that because it's against the thinking, especially as Shimshon's pointed out, that the Taz pointed out the whole Holiday of Hanukkah spirituality, not physicality. In fact, you can make a very strong case that the revolt of the Maccabees was Dafka to bring back spirituality and to fight physicality, because what was Greek culture? Greek culture was gyms, sports stadiums, a lot of physical things, right? Partying,
Olympics.
They used to have the Jewish Olympic Games. And stadium, which was built on the Temple Mount. At the time of the Maccabees, there was a Temple Mount stadium where they had Jewish Olympic Games.
So,
that's put down in the book of the Maccabees, and Hashmonaim, it's put down.
Josephus,
it's put down. So, all of this was what they were fighting against, the physicality of Jewish culture. And that's why I personally resent very much, there was an Israeli phenomenon, I don't know if it's still going on, but there was an Israeli phenomenon called the Maccabean Games.
They have in America also, for American Jews.
It's such a, it's a backwards thing. The Maccabees were fighting.
In the summertime.
They were fighting the games. They were anti all these Greek games. They didn't want games. They wanted people to learn Torah.
Why are you asking the name of Maccabees?
It's not Mish, I don't know, it's a caricature.
Why are you talking about the show? Because you don't like the name of
Maccabees. It's an incredible distortion to call Jewish sportsmen Maccabees. The Maccabees are against that. They don't want sports. It's wrong. Yes?
Chaim was saying yesterday how following on the basketball team, most of the guys don't wear, very few of them wear the yarmulke when they play. But he was saying that he felt that, the name Maccabees would fit. He felt that, I mean, he didn't say this, that the name would fit if they would dress the way he said. He said that if they all would wear their tzitzis, play all these registered schools, if they did not wear tzitzis, they'd have a pair for basketball, they wore tzitzis and yarmulkes when they play. So then I thought, okay, so that based on what he was saying, so then if you call them Maccabees, then if anything, you have spirituality there.
Okay. But, spirituality and the physicality.
I guess so.
To be a Hasidic Maccabee. That's okay, but
healthy is healthy.
You have to. I don't mind. I believe in the sports activities in terms of health, but I don't. I think it's a distortion to take something like the word Maccabee. What does the word Maccabee say? Many of the commentaries say that the word Maccabee is a kitzur. It's a gematria. It stands for Mi Kamocha. For Elim Hashem, Mem Beis Chaf Yud Mi Kamocha for Elim Hashem. It's a praise to Hashem.
Is this simple?
No. Put down Mi Kamocha for Elim Hashem. So therefore, why? How can you turn that into a sports game? That doesn't make any sense. Okay. So this is the story of Hanukkah. And of the mitzvah of spreading the light of Hanukkah to the Goyim. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi said, mitzvah is Hanukkah, Nerish Ubeso. The basic mitzvah is Nerish Ubeso. So of course on this score we have that huge machlokas between the Rav and the Bavitcher. Could you put it someplace where there is no bias? The Rav says certainly not, the Bavitcher says you could.
Where does it
get
from? It has to
be in the bottom. It says in the Gemara, Ner Ish
Ubeso. All right.
Okay. Rashi says Ner Yishu Beso Ner Echad B'chol Laila V'ish B'chol B'nei Beso Sagiluhu B'ner Echad. One candle for everybody in the family. Then it says in the Gemara of Mahadrin Ner L'chol Echad V'echad Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin Beishamra Omim Yom Yishun Mavik Shmon Makan Derech Tochas V'holech Then it's in time with Dvarav, the Malin Bakodesh, the Ein Mavid. Yeah.
Two questions. One is, I don't understand what the first of the word Yosef is saying, whichever one it is. Tadamar, Tamad the Beishamah, Kenegi, the Mimim, and the Fasim, Tamad the Hill, the Kenegi, the Mimim, and the Fasim. That seems to be what they're doing, but that's not really reasoning. What's the reasoning behind the Beishamah?
Right. It just describes the way they do it. It doesn't explain why they do that. You're right.
But use the Lashon Tam.
Right. Keneged.
Right. So
you have to give an interpretation which is very close to the Yom HaYotzim and Yom HaNachnasim.
Okay. Is there no need to relate to that?
I wouldn't really say I know anything so extraordinary. There are a few interpretations on the Yom HaNechnasim and Yom HaYotzim. I don't know which one fits better, I don't know. I think I re-quoted some of them last time. One interpretation is the commemorating the miracle of the oil. I remember we had a very long discussion on how did that miracle take place in the oil. So, on the first night, the oil had the potential to go for 8 days. So you're commemorating the miracle in the oil itself, if you light 8 the first night and 7 the second night, because you're basically showing how much miracle energy is in the oil each night. But if you go 1, 2, 3, you count up, you're basically commemorating the perception of the nace. And people saw it the first night, they said, oh, look, it lasted 1 day. Second, oh, it lasted 2 days. So they're perceiving the miracle as increasing, whereas that's why Beisel throws up, because he's focused on the perception. Beishama is focused more on the chemistry. That's a pshat that I heard. Yeah.
In his mind, I wrote this with him and said, since an area should be, so it's just, I guess, what, that's bare minimum, that I guess that the Baal Bayit is meant for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, and that would be what, just one candle every night would cover everyone?
Yeah.
Then there so basically, one candle is being lit every night for everyone. That's great, but for 8 nights. Okay, and then Mahadran, so what's the difference between Mahadran and Mahadran and Mahadran? Mahadran is that each person in the house is lighting one candle, but for themselves. And Mahadrin is 8 candles?
Okay. Now Mahadrin,
what's the difference between the two?
Okay. What Mahadrin means, it says Ner l'chol echad ve'echad, is a huge machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramah. And the Ramah claims that the Rambam agrees with him, that he's basically just following Rambam, but in the Rambam it's not so clear whether that's correct. But Ramah claims it's Rambam. So there's a huge machlokas between Tosfos and Ramah. What the Gemara means when it says Mahadrin Ner l'chol echad ve'echad. Ramah learns it to mean that every person lights his own private Ner Chanukah. Every person lights his own nechana.
That's what's the Rambam
says, but you're wrong. Yeah, he said that's the Rambam Shita. The Tosfos says no. It's still the Balabayas, the one guy lighting for everybody, but he's lighting as many candles as there are in people living in the house. One person lights four, but he just increases the number of his candles to match kol echad v'echad, how many people live in the house. So he lights, let's say there are five people living in his house. First night he lights five, second night he lights five, every night he lights five candles. That's the shita of Tosfos.
And what I'm imagining is that you're writing one day.
If you feel a little warm, Chaim, I would take off your jacket and your sweat.
I'm not warm. It's breathing.
Oh, they're breathing.
Air is starting to be stale.
Stale. Okay. Okay. No. I'll leave the window open. It's fine. It's okay.
So then, what's Mahajan?
Mahajan is to go up and down the number of days. How many days are kind of one, two people now?
And that's your own, and everyone's lighting their own.
That's so. Now, according to the Ramah, since everyone's lighting their own as a Mahajan, then everyone can do the Mahajan Mina Mahajan. So that's exactly what we do. We Ashkenazim, we follow Ramah. We have every person lighting his own and going up every day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now the Sfarim don't do that, right? Here's a case where the Ramah claims he's a true Sfarim, because he's following Rabbi.
Isn't this the only, I think it's the only
thing. Bechava is following the Tosfos.
This is where usually it's Ashkenazim following Tosfos and the Sfarim following Rabbi. It's the opposite.
Right, here's the opposite.
Sfarim following Tosfos, Ashkenazim following Rabbi.
It just goes to prove one nation, you know. Tosfos says that in the way Tosfos' interpretation of the Mahadrim Nelechol Echad V'Echad means that one person lights according to the number of people in the house. He says then there's no way of combining that Mahadrim with Mahadrim Mina Mahadrim, because if you start off the first night with five, we're going to go the second night if you want to increase numbers.
So I guess what you'd have to
There's
write,
no way to do it.
You'd have to write that many canopias. You'd have five people have the five canopias. Is that?
No. This is one person's lighting. It's one huge set of candles.
So what does this do with Mahajan and Mahajan?
Tosfos says that this one guy who's lighting for the family, he's going to do Mahajan and Mahajan. He's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's going to skip the Mahajan. He's not going to do the Chol Echad V'Echad. If he wants to do them, he has to pick either Mahajan or Mahajan Mina Mahajan. You can't do both together, according to Tosfos. He's one guy lighting for everybody. Look at the Tosfos inside. A Mahajan Mina Mahajan, Nira Levi, the Beishamai, the Beisilel, Lo Kaimi, Ela Anerish Ubeso. In other words, you jump from the Nerish Ubeso to the Mahajan Mina Mahajan. Shekain Yesh Yosef Hidur. Dika hekeiro kishemosiv v'holech o machaseh shukeneged yom ha'nachnos v'nayotzim. Aval, im osen ner achol echot. If he does a ner achol echot, afilu Yosef, mikan v'yelech leke hekeiro shiz v'shekach yesh nevel abayis. He says it'll be impossible to have what?
To wait for everyone and to
it doesn't work. Now, so this is how Shulchan Aruch passes like Tosfos. He says that you choose this or that, and the common practice is to do Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, one person lights for the whole family. 1, 2, 3.
This is
the minhag of the Sfaradim, the Machaber. This is like Tosfos. And the Ramah says, no, everybody has his own candles and lights their own. Now, we came up that the Rambam himself, when you look at the Rambam himself, you see a third opinion, because the Rambam says if there are 10 people in the house, the first night light 10, then 20, work your way up till 80. So he seems to be doing what Tosfos says, but the impossible.
But the Baal Bais is lighting like 10 of them as he has, or there's
eight? No, he's lighting 10, 20, 30, every night he increases it by 10.
Rabbi, do you think you could give us Makaros for Shulchan Aruch?
What do you mean by Makaros for Shulchan Aruch? What do you mean?
I'm saying exactly which ones you want us we should know.
Oh. You look it up in Chaschanukah. You want to know where this particular
one is? It's not that large a section.
It's not so large. But most of these things are at the beginning of Chaschanukah.
It says it in the Gemara also.
You can look on the side. You see on the side? Yeah, it's not. But look on the side. You touch Reish, Ayin, Gimel. There's a lot of the halacha. And it says Mahadrin. You'll see Zion. The small Zion. You see the small Zion in the Gemara? Let's say it says Yom Rishon Mavik Achas. You see the little Zion there?
Mm-hmm.
And Chaf Aleph Amad Beis.
Mm-hmm.
You see the small Zion by the word Yom? Yom Rishon?
First word on the line.
First word on the line is Yom. Mm-hmm. You see a small Zion?
Yes.
Look on the right column, all the way on the right on top. You see, it says, and it's the Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, all the way on the right side of the page. It's number Zion. He says, Tur Shulchan Aruch Aruch Ayin Simen Tav Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Beis. So you can find it there, Simen Tav Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Beis. So now, the Rambam is a new Shita. He says you like 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 candles.
This is Mahajan, Mahajan, Mahajan.
It's a combination of both together.
I won't combine
tonight. Rambam, according to
Rambam, no, it's the Rambam is his own shita. Because he says there are 10 people in the house.
If there are 10, then you can increase by 10. And if there are 2, then you
can increase by 2. In other words, he does the impossible combination of Tosfos.
He says about by the lights in the north, everyone?
Yeah.
What?
That's what it seems. You read the Rambam very simply, that's what he's saying. He's saying that the Baal Bais lights one menorah for everybody, but he can work his way up, even up to 80 candles, depending on how many people live in the house. First night, 10.
So see if there's 5 people in the house, and increase by 5?
5. Next night, 10. Then 15.
Whatever number it is.
Just increase every night. In other words, there's a multiplication going on. You take the number of people, multiply by which night of Hanukkah it is, and that's how many candles you light.
I like this also better, because I like the fact that you can see how many...
Yeah, so the Rambam's opinion is that people who look at the numbers don't have to understand what's going on. Tosa says, and Ramah, that the numbers have to make sense to people who are looking at it. According to the Rambam, the numbers are a separate thing.
The Rambam says
the
numbers
can
make sense.
Yes, every person has his own set of candles. The Rambam will be very sure that they don't mix them together. People, it's very clearly delineated, each set of candles. So each one is a clear group of candles. If it's 3, it's third night, 4, fourth night, and everyone has his own separate thing. According to the Rambam, there's one guy lighting loads and loads of candles. No one knows what it means except him. He knows what it means. So the Rambam doesn't think that the numbers of candles are important. They're not part of the Pirsum of the Ness. According to the Ramah, the number of the candles is part of the Pirsum of the Ness. It has to be explained. According to the Rambam, the number of candles is part of Hadlaka. It's a keem of Hadlaka. It's not a keem of Pirsum of the Ness. Therefore, the numbers can be totally confusing to people. It doesn't make a difference. Yes?
It's really the subject of having the candles all be in the same place. That they just can't be all mixed up together.
Ramah, Shekhinah.
We never discussed, but are you allowed to, let's say, light your candles in different places? Let's say we light five candles, let's say.
One in each
room. Can I light one in this window, one in that window, one in this window? Yeah.
I doubt it.
If you don't necessarily need a Chanukiah, we can use the Yushan vases, which there's no connection between them whatsoever.
Right.
So let's say I make a distinction of 5 inches between Yushan vases, and I make a distinction of 10 feet between Yushan vases, or...
I would think that according to the Ramah, who says that numbers have to be understood by...
Let's take one of the Rambam,
you can do whatever you want. You can put them all over the house. Because Rambam doesn't say anyone has to really understand what those numbers are. But according to Tosfos, you wouldn't be able to. According to the Ramah, you would not be able to. Yeah.
How's the
Rambam
say it's Hajjim and Hajjim? I don't understand. Well,
you're changing every night.
What?
Every night you're changing the number of candles.
You see, Rambam in the Gemara, you're going from depending on which opinion, either 8 to 1 or 1 to 8. So.
That doesn't go from 10 to 80, from 5 to 40. As long as you change the numbers.
Rambam is saying that as long as you increase this margin, as long as you increase every night.
Right.
Well, you increase it for each person. Each person you're doing that.
Right. Okay, it's an interesting big machlokas here, three opinions. Yes. Now there's another huge problem about the Mahadrim and thing. This is one of the most important problems in Hilchos Chanukah, and that's the problem of making a bracha for Mahadrim. Let's say according to the Ramah, this is purely Ashkenazi problem. So according to the Ramah, everybody's lighting his own set of candles. So here Mishnah Berurah raises an incredible problem. The first person who lights this set of candles he should be considered Ner Ishur Beso. He should be considered to be lighting for everybody in the family. Then when the second guy gets up to light his set of candles, he was already Yotzei, the basic mitzvah. He's only lighting his set to the Yotzei, a Mahadrim level. But then, how do you make a bracha? Once a person was already Yotzei, the mitzvah, he wants to do something extra. It's only Mahadrim. Mahadrim is very problematic. If you can make another bracha for mitzvah you already Yotzei, basically. Yes?
Is that same sample that Rebbe brought when Rebbe one time knew he was coming home late, and so Rebbe had Rebbe send the light, and Rebbe did Mahudar when he got home, but Rebbe didn't make the bracha?
Well, there the Mishnah Berurah says he thinks you should not make a bracha. So he says, how do people make the brachos? Only if they have in mind not to be Yotzei the other person. So the first guy who lights has to presumably think, I am lighting only for myself and for nobody else. That would allow the second person to light with a bracha because he was excluded.
And the first lighter has to think that.
Right.
I have to say it, no?
At least think it.
Is that how
we pass it? That's Mishnah Berurah's
Pesach. What is Rebbe doing?
I personally don't pass from that because I think, and in this package which I gave you guys, I have an article there where I bring proofs that from according to Shulchan Aruch, you could make a blessing for Mahadra in Chanukah. That the Mahadra of Chanukah is so important that even if a person was Yotzei with the first person's candles, and now the second fellow is lighting 3 hours later because he was away in a late class, he's coming home later, he was already Yotzei because his mother or father lit for him early. He's only lighting now for Mahadrim. He can make a bracha for Mahadrim because the Mahadrim of Chanukah is a special chiyuv. It's a special key mitzvah which is so important that you can make a bracha on it. So it's not like a lulav and an esrog. In a lulav and an esrog, if I shook the first lulav and esrog and was Yotzei, and an hour later someone gives me a more beautiful one, I can shake it and I won't make a bracha for hiddur mitzvah of a lulav and esrog. Chanukah? Yes. Hanukkah is a special din of Mahatra.
So if you only have one candle, and then someone brings you like another box of candles, you make another bracha and light more candles?
Yeah. Yes. That's the bracha mitzvah. I have an article in this package where I say it. I prove it from a certain, exactly your case. There's a Beis Yosef about someone who, I think he got candles late, he didn't have enough candles. Anyway, whatever the case is, that would be it.
And the Beis Yosef says he's going to write that?
No, the Beis Yosef says, he doesn't, Beis Yosef actually says, he doesn't have to, because when he lit the first ones, he had in mind that he's going to get the later ones. So the bracha from the first goes on the later ones, which he gets later, because he had that in mind. Mm-hmm. But it's mashma, it apparently is, if he wouldn't have that in mind, he would make another bracha.
You would have to, or you could?
Have to. That's what
kind of bracha would you make?
Mahatmik.
Again?
Yeah. Hanukkah, the Hiddur, is a mitzvah hadlaka.
That's a Hiddur.
Then he quoted the Osameach, who says Pshat in Rambam. Then the Rambam says, Mitzvah's Hanukkah, Chaviva hi ad ma'ol. It's a very, very precious mitzvah. And that's the Gaya Kol Adam. Every person is supposed to go and borrow money in order to light Hanukkah candles. And he says, Lahader ulegalos hanesh. That's the exact lesson of the Rambam. Lahosif. That the Ram Goshen is, you have to go and borrow money, he says, in order the gallows. The last Rambam Hilchos Chanukah says a person such an abu misses halachiyat beis peregal halachiyat beis zoroch mitzvah nechanukah mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od zoroch adam li zoyabo Kidei lahodiya hanes ulahosif b'shevach hakeil v'hodolelo al hanisin she'osan lanu afilu emo mayochel ela mina tzedoko shoel o moche kesuso lokeach shemen v'neiros umar. So the Rambam is very clear that there's a chiyuv to be lahodiya hanes, which means one candle to show the nace, ulahosef, and to add the shevach, hakeil, v'hodoya lo al hanisin she'asalonu, to be mosif with more shevach, more praise and thanks for the nisin. And that's why he says you have to go and get charity to buy shemet v'neiros, many candles, not just one. So that's also Meir's Medayim, the Lashon HaRambam, that there's a chiyuv to do Mahajra.
So does he imply that in the case where we discussed the Rambam Gemara about whether you're talking about Shabbat candles or Hanukkah candles? So you would say that Hanukkah candles that's talking about there are even the extra ones for the Rambam?
Yeah, exactly. Also Meir has a big chiddush in Rambam that this Mahajra is unique. This Mahadrin is a chiyuv. This is a Mahadrin. And by the way, Rabbi Viskarov, the Grizz, Zitzal, explicitly argues with this and says it's not true. The Mahadrin of Hanukkah is a regular Mahadrin of any other mitzvah. There's no chiyuv at all to do it. It's only voluntary. And the Grizz says there's certainly no obligation to go get money to do this. And there's certainly no bracha. If you did the basic mitzvah, you're not going to make a bracha for the Mahadrin, which is like the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says also now.
Mahadrin
isn't
a chiyuv.
Not a chiyuv, Gris says. Either Gemara says Mahadrin do this, Mahadrin do that. It's all voluntary stuff. It's nothing to do with a chiyuv. Not a mitzvah hadlaka. It's a special hidden mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, which has no chiyuv whatsoever. It's only voluntary, according to Gris, which is Mishnah Berurah. That's why Mishnah Berurah says that you have to make the first person whose lights should have in mind not to be Motzi. Because if he is, no one else can make a bracha, because they were already Yotze with the first guy. I have to tell you that I have to give credit to my children, because I got a few phone calls during Hanukkah from children who were away in school or whatever at night, and they called me up and said, "Abba, what's with the Hanukkah candles? Will I be able to make a bracha later? Should I have in mind to let you be motzi me? I know you're lighting early. Or should we have in mind that you won't be motzi me and I'll light later?" All of this, I have halacha l'maisa. I'm very happy that my children are sensitive to this issue. And they called up to ask the shayla what they should do.
When,
yes.
You know, my father, he lights, and then all of his light, including myself, but he lights my mother sometimes. So could he, so how that falls in Mishnah Berurah? Could he have in mind just to light for her?
Right.
Or does he, or is it that a husband doesn't even need to have in mind his wife, or just automatically in fact that they're married?
It's a very strange Mishnah Berurah. It's a very about a wife.
It's
an incredibly strange Mishnah Berurah where he says that a wife is considered part of the mitzvah of the husband's candles automatically.
Even without kavanah.
Without kavanah. And because ishto kagufa. Because a wife and a husband are one person. This is the first time in halacha we've ever seen such a thing. I never heard that if a husband eats matzah, his wife is yotzei mitzvahs matzah because ishto kagufa. Or if her husband shakes uvan esrig, she gets the mitzvah too. But here Mishnah Berurah said that the Chanukah candles nerishu beiso, and since the wife is kagufa, she gets the mitzvahs Chanukah automatically, whether he thinks about it or not, or she thinks about it or not. Therefore, he says, that's why he says women don't do, married women don't do the mahajim of the Ramah. That every Jew lights his own candles. Mishnah Berurah says that's only boys, girls in Stern College, but not married women. Because since Ishta Kagufo, they don't do the mahadrim of Kol Echad Ve'echad. Because they don't have to. They're automatically with the husband. It's as if they
so
did it themselves.
Should they say a bracha?
According to Mishnah Berurah, it's a big problem. They shouldn't.
So if they write, then Israel should not make a bracha. Probably not.
But the Rav was very much against this Mishnah Berurah. The Rav said he never heard any place in Halacha that we apply Ishto Kagufo. Ishto Kagufo, the Gemara says that a husband cannot testify against his wife in court. She cannot testify against him.
Is that for all relatives then?
No, only a wife is Kagufo. Yeah, all relatives is no testimony, but a wife is very close relative to a husband. That's the Gemara says. But she's the closest of all relatives, Kagufo. But that doesn't mean that when he does mitzvahs, she gets credit. That's what the Rav said. He doesn't really see. The Gemara never said that. We don't see any place in our Gemara that if a wife, that the wife just relies on her husband. There's no mention in the Gemara of such an idea. Mishnah Berurah has this idea. And by the way, it's a very strong custom, Ashkenazic custom, that married women don't light. Because they rely on their husband, because of this Mishnah Berurah. It's not his own concept. It's apparently very widespread. However, Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav, was strongly against it, and he insisted that all women, including married women, who want to get the mahadrim, should light their own candles, and that's what I do in my house. I follow my Rebbe. He's very strong that the married, so every man, every woman, married, my single girls all light the candles. We don't make any difference. Nelech Alechad Ve'echad, it's a mahadrim, and according to the Rambam, it's a chiyuv, according to Asameach, Lahosef V'Shevach, therefore the women, including married women, should light their own Chanukah candles. Okay, Shimshon, your Sfadi, so it's not negated to you. Because you're anyway going to just have one set for everybody. And it was a bandage. No, no. So but too bad you're not Ashkenazim. And you could fulfill the Zaka of the Rav.
You can go, you can light all you want, just no bracha.
Yeah, but the whole point of the Rav is to make a bracha. You follow the minhag of the Sfardim.
Since then the Rav Medavka said that we should not have Kavanah for his wife.
Yeah, well, you want to avoid the Mishnah Brewer's issue, so definitely have Kavanah not to include your wife.
Because
you want to at least try to do what
he's doing. Only for his wife, then she's not going to get Mahadra, and that's going to be a problem with the Rambam.
Right, so therefore, have in mind to exclude your wife. Anyway, the way we set it up by us, the Ashkenazim, it's very clear that everybody is excluding everybody else, because we line up different sets by the window, one for Abba, one for Ima, one for the oldest boy, one for the girl. Everybody has their own set, it's all prepared. So it's clear that, and everybody knows, this is Abba's set, this is Ima's set, this is the boy, the girl. So it's very clear from the very beginning that there's an exclusion. Whoever lies is just strictly for themselves. They're not being Yotzi anybody else. So there's no issue. I mean, it's clear to anybody who walks into the house and to the members that there's an exclusionary hadlaka going on. Everyone is completely separate. Maravodai, this leads us to the following incredible conclusion based upon the minhag of the Ramah Ashkenazim. Namely, that the mitzvah's Chanukah changed from being a mitzvah's bias to being a mitzvah's gavra. Because the original mitzvah of Marish and Beso, which is the minhag of the Sfardim, is that it's a mitzvah of the bias. In other words, it's a collective mitzvah. It involves a unit. It's like a mezuzah or Shabbos candles. Not a personal chiyuv. It's the chiyuv of the family to have a nechanaka. Mitzvah's bias. But according to the Ramah, and as I just explained, everyone has his own set, separate, independent, exclusive for themselves. It's a mitzvah's gavra. I have nothing to do with anybody else. And the truth is, it's a very difficult minhag. An interpretation of the Ramah, that the Mahadran changes the nature of the mitzvah fundamentally from being a mitzvah's bias to being a mitzvah's gavra. In other words, it becomes like eating matzah. I eat my matzah, you eat your matzah. I like my candles, you like your candles. Especially based upon the Rav's insistence that you have to put it into the bias. You can't put it on bridges and tunnels. So it's clearly a mitzvah of the bias, like a mezuzah. It's a chiddush that the minhag of Mahadrin is to make it a mitzvah's gavra. Mitzvah's gavra. Each person has his own mitzvah. We'll try to take a lunch break. See you in about 15 minutes. 1:15. They must have been buried to the authorities.
So why are they calling him Zakain? Meaning, like, why don't they call
him Zakain? Means Tamid HaChacham.
Right, so why don't they name him?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, Shlomo had a chat along the lines of the Ish that David HaMachar said to when he's going down. Yosef was out, he goes down when he's going to visit his brother. But the Ish that he spoke to was Gabriel. So he wants to say that these two that came here are
Malachim.
Malachim or some sort.
Wow.
I don't understand what the...
Otherwise, whatsoever.
What's the point? In other words, they're not going to say you're a pshat.
There's no point of them being here whatsoever.
Because we already have
two older guys are doing some weird things from the Paschal Al-Palacha based on what some two random older men are doing.
Who cares if they're angels or not?
What's I don't think it was the whole story with the Rava, you know, that the bigger tzaddik you are, the bigger Yitzhahara is. As it was in Amora, to meet some random guy in the street, and the way it was, I read it, maybe it's Rashi, that Ish was Eliyahu Navi, who said it to the person.
Don't forget.
This is not halacha. This is minhag too. This is not halacha. This is minhag. This is minhag.
Fine. Even but so, look, but it's minhag.
The first Gemara says, "Amar Ula." Ula says, "Pligi bo trei amaroy b'marav." So my mom, who lived in Marav, Marav means Israel, as Israel was west, the Bava. Rav Yossi, but all of them, one says. Then he one says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnei Zetanin Ketziva. Rav Yochanan was the Gadol Hador, he was the Rosh Sanhedrin of Eretz Israel. Okay. He wrote the Talmud of Yerushalmi. Rav Yochanan is much bigger than Ula, and much bigger than these two Amoraim, Rav Yossi Bar Ovin, Rav Yossi Bar Zavida. Rav Yochanan was a god of Hadar.
Okay.
So Rav Yochanan says something that's much more authoritative. And he's quoting the Shnei Zekanim B'tzidon.
I hope him.
So the finish is not the Shnei Zekanim, it's Rav Yochanan.
Why don't we just say that Rav Yochanan says it while we put this in?
But he apparently
Rav Yochanan Omer, XYZ.
No, he's quoting his teachers. He apparently had two teachers in this place, Zedon. Why it doesn't say their name, I don't know. But I think the Gemara is quoting not for the Shnei Zekanim, but for Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan is much more authority than Ula. Rav Yochanan was a Gadol Hadar.
Are there people who are known as the Zekanim of Tzidon? Like, do we know?
Probably. I guess if you would go, look in the book called Sefer Hadaros.
Sefer Hadaros.
Yeah, you can tell them. Sefer Hadaros goes through all the names of all the